morning, we will continue our journey into our effort to behold our God, to know our living God, and we are attempting this by visiting and considering all that He is and who He is, His attributes. But before we do that, let's pray and ask God to do what we cannot. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day that You have brought us together. There is great purpose in this day and great purpose for everyone that You have brought here. Father, we do pray that our time together today would be honoring and glorifying to You. We do pray that You would be with me as I share Your message, that You would be with the hearers as they are present here today as You have so ordained. Cause their hearts and their minds to be finely tuned to what it is that You have for each and every one of us. So that, Father, when we leave this place today and go out into our workplaces and our schools and our families and among our friends, Father, we would be a changed people. We would have Your Word present on our tongues and on our hearts, ready to share the good news, ready to share the information about who You are and how good and right and faithful and loving and merciful You are. Father, we do thank You for the time that You brings us together. We thank You for the opportunity to fellowship with one another and to be in Your Word today. Father, we just pray again that our time together would be honoring and glorifying to You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So thus far, we have spent just two sermons looking at the proper name of God, Yahweh, as He Himself gave it to Moses and to us when He was asked, "Who do you say sent me?" And of course, God answers and says, "Tell them I am has sent me to you. Tell them the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." And He says, "This is my name, Yahweh, I am. This is my name forever. Thus, I am to be remembered throughout all the generations." So God declares what His name is, what His proper name is, and He tells Moses and He tells us, "This is the way that I am to be remembered forever. I am everlasting. I am eternal. I have always been and always will be. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega." And He says, "There is none before Him, nor will there be any beyond Him. He simply is."
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roar. Thy power throughout the universe.
Yahweh. He is the Almighty God, and He is bigger than we give Him credit for. We have to be reminded of this. This morning we're going to continue to look at Him, and we are going to look at the fact that God is faithful. Webster defines faithfulness as firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. The Hebrew word for faithfulness is amun, meaning trustworthy. And the Greek word for faithfulness is pistis, its root word being pistos, meaning believe, trust. And so pistis means one is trustworthy or belief worthy. Isaiah 25:1 says, Yahweh, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have accomplished wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. What a gracious assurance in light of our own faithfulness, isn't it? Our God is faithful perfectly all the time. And get this, believer, our unfaithfulness never alters, nor could it ever alter, the faithfulness of God. We have to anchor our souls on that rock of divine truthfulness. Faithfulness is God's attribute of utter dependability. It is the exact opposite of everything that we know and experience that is fickle and fluctuating. The exact opposite. Let me ask you, could you name one person that you know who does what they say? And before you answer that in your mind, let me rephrase the question. Do you know one person who does exactly what they say every single time? And before you answer that, let me ask, do you know one person who does exactly what they say every single time and does it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything that they say or do? Now wait, one more. Do you know one person, just one person, who no matter what the circumstances are and no matter how they feel, will always do exactly what they say, and they will do it every single time, and they'll do it with the same thoroughness and perfection that you have never have to worry about, and they will definitely do it without fail, without change, and without excuse? Do you know one person? I think we all know the answer to those questions, because that is why we have contracts that need to be signed, isn't it? That is why we have to take oaths, right? Because we are liars. Our word is not dependable. We are fickle and fluctuating, changing our minds all the time to suit us and to suit our needs. Listen. God's faithfulness means that because He is truth, everything He says and does is certain. Certain. That means He is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He does not fail. He does not forget. He does not falter. He does not change, and He does not disappoint. In the words of Lewis Sperry Schaefer, He not only advances and confirms that which is true, but in faithfulness abides by His promises and executes every threat or warning He has made. He says what He means, and He means what He says, and therefore He does everything He says He will do. He is faithful. If you would, turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. I want you to see these very words from God Himself with your own eyes. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Follow along with me there. Verse 22, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in Him. Now, for some of you, it might seem odd at first to have you go to Lamentations to look at God's faithfulness, though this passage does have the words in it. The reason it may seem odd is because to lament means to mourn out loud with grief, to express one's complaint. And this is exactly what the prophet Jeremiah does in this book, isn't it? He mourns over the desolation and destruction that had come upon Jerusalem and Judah. And he raises his voice of grief over the captivity of Judah in Babylon on account of her apostasy. And in chapter 3, he laments about his own personal affliction that he has suffered through all of this. He would write in verse 1 of chapter 3, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. Jeremiah mourned in this way because God had sent many painful events in the life of His servant. He would also tell us in verse 14 of the same chapter that He is the laughingstock. It says, I am the laughingstock to all my people, mocked by their songs all day long. They laughed and they mocked Him so much that they made songs about it to sing all day long. And more. He was even cast into a pit for days, standing in mud up to his knees for days. This prophet had been beaten and imprisoned because he spoke the words that Yahweh had placed upon his lips. He spoke the words of condemnation and destruction upon Judah for the sins that she had been committing before the face of God. The people and the rulers hated him for that. Not that Jeremiah delighted in speaking the truth, but he was commanded to do so by God. He could not help but speak these words. He was Yahweh's mouthpiece. And so he was persecuted for the sake of truth in this particular book of the Bible, and he raises his lamentation to God. So why this passage? Why would I bring this passage to you in considering God's faithfulness? Because in the middle of all that Jeremiah was going through, in the middle of his mourning, Jeremiah brings to mind a blessed truth that should give us joy and peace. It is the truth that we have been speaking about, God's faithfulness. Let me ask you, in the past year, months, or days, has God proved Himself at all to be faithful to you, this church, your kids, your family, at all? Of course. Of course. The answer is emphatically yes. And even though we look at our society and the church as a whole, we can see it slowly or even quickly crumbling and falling and turning away from God Himself. And still we can say, God is faithful. And we can say that His mercies towards His saints have been new every morning of this week, this month, this year, this life. That truth should give us confidence and joy. Looking again at verse 22, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. The word there, faithful, can also be translated steadfast. Because of the Lord's steadfast love or loving kindness. When that's placed with the word love there, it means the Lord's covenant loyalty because of love. Its New Testament equal would be found in the idea of God's love and grace. And notice that Jeremiah remembered that it was the pure grace of God that brought Israel out of their slavery in Egypt. And it was by His grace that this redeemed people, in spite of their failures and wanderings, His steadfast love, His faithfulness, His loving kindness kept Him from causing them to do what? Perish. Perish. This was mercy, wasn't it? This was mercy. They did not receive what they deserved, and the same is true with us. This was compassion. Your translation may even say something like compassion or compassions they fail not. So what does verse 23 then say about God's mercy, God's compassion? Verse 22 says they have no end. And look at verse 23. It says they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you see it? God's mercy is new every single morning. Every single morning. Every day that you open your eyes and your feet touch the floor, God is merciful to you. To me. I woke this morning and I did not receive what I deserve. You woke this morning and did not receive what you deserve. His mercies are new every morning. Look at what it guarantees. His mercy, His compassion for His people, it will never, ever, ever end. It will never end. Great is your faithfulness. The Hebrew word for great is rab, R-A-B, and it means abundance or exceedingly abundant. So get that. God's mercy for you and for me is directly tied to and bound to His very nature of exceedingly abundant faithfulness. That is such an awesome truth. Exceedingly abundant faithfulness. I mean, no matter how worthless I can be, no matter how pathetic my Christian life can be, no matter how hard life can be and will be, God will always be never-endingly merciful and faithful. Such good news. Jeremiah had experienced it and was confessing it, and so we should too. And look at Jeremiah's application there in verse 24 of what he believed and announced regarding God's mercy and faithfulness. He says, verse 24, I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in Him. The word for portion there, kelek, it is often referred to possessing a piece of land. That land is your portion, this land is my portion. Jeremiah is saying that Yahweh, the one that has never-ending mercies, the one with great faithfulness, He is my God and I am His people. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. And he says, because of that great faithfulness, because of the great God, the merciful God being His, he says, therefore, I will put my hope in Him. Word for hope there, Hebrew word, yakal, meaning to wait expectantly. Jeremiah confesses that things have been hard, they have been bad for him, but his God, Yahweh, is a God of never-ending mercies that are new every day, that He is a God with an overabundance of faithfulness, and so he will wait on Him. Think about what Jeremiah was going through. And he's saying right here, He is my portion and I will wait on Him because His mercies are new every day. Great is His faithfulness. He will be obedient and he will trust in Him who is faithful no matter how things look. Is that where our minds go? Right in the middle of struggle and conflict? God is so faithful, I'm just going to wait on Him. That is not the first place we go, is it? But that is where we need to be reminded over and over to go. The remainder of our time this morning, I'd like to share with you some ways in which Scripture defines God's faithfulness. And then I'll share with you some ways in which that faithfulness is manifested or shown. So we'll start with ways in which Scripture defines God's faithfulness. The first one we just saw in Lamentations 3:23, in which it said, God's faithfulness is great. God's faithfulness is great. That's a word that we use all the time. How are you doing? I'm doing great. How was your meal? It was great. Not the same great. This great is exceedingly abundant. God's faithfulness is exceedingly abundant. Meaning it exceeds everything that you can imagine. It knows no end. It has no boundaries. Psalm 89:2 says that His faithfulness is established. It says, "For I will declare, faithful love is built up forever. You establish your faithfulness in the heavens." His faithfulness is set firm in His eternal counsel. It is above all that is subject to change outside of Himself. So while everything else changes, while everything else fluctuates, God's faithfulness is established beyond time and space and eternity. It is established. It is set firm. Psalm 89:8. His faithfulness is incomparable. Lord God of hosts, who is strong like you, Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. Your faithfulness surrounds you. It says that Yahweh, the God of hosts, who is strong and who is mighty, is there anyone like you? It's a rhetorical question. But it says, still with the comparison in mind, your faithfulness, your trustworthy, it surrounds you. In other words, your faithfulness is never not a part of who you are. It's never not a part of who you are. Do you know anyone else like that? That's what it's asking. None like you. 2 Timothy 2:13 says His faithfulness is unfailing. It's unfailing. It says if we are faithless, and we are, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. It's who He is. It's who He is. And this goes back to what we said in the beginning. Our actions, our lives, does not change who God is. Our unfaithfulness never alters, nor could never alter, the faithfulness of God. His faithfulness is unfailing. What He says He will do, He will do. And this is tied to Numbers 23:19, which says, God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. Does He speak and not act, or promise and not fulfill? That's rhetorical too. Of course He does. He is faithful. Scripture also declares His faithfulness is infinite and everlasting. Psalm 36:5, Lord, Your faithful love reaches to heaven, Your faithfulness to the clouds. It is infinite. It cannot be measured. It reaches everywhere. There is never not a place where God's faithfulness can be found. It is infinite, unmeasurable. Psalm 119:90, Your faithfulness is for all generations. You establish the earth and it stands firm. His faithfulness is eternal, as He is eternal. It has no beginning, it has no end. It's just who He is. Psalm 146:6, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, He remains faithful forever. Forever. Scripture also shows that His faithfulness should be sought after in prayer. Psalm 143:1, Lord, hear my prayer. In Your faithfulness, listen to my plea, and in Your righteousness, answer me. And His faithfulness should be proclaimed. Psalm 40:10. I did not hide Your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about Your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. Psalm 89:1. I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth. Do we find ourselves in conversations with people where we're always complaining about this or that? When you see somebody and you sit down and the first thing you start to do is complain about this or that, what's happening to you or happening around you. Very first thing. By the way, it's the same mouth that we confess with to be children of Yahweh. Children of Yahweh, children of the great I Am. Are we proclaiming God's faithfulness, His never-ending daily mercies on us? There should never be a time where we sit down with somebody and we lack something good to say about God. Where we just can't find a way to share something merciful that God has done to us or for us. There should never be a conversation in which we can't tell of God's goodness and faithfulness. And yet we struggle. We struggle to talk about anything relating to God. We'll talk about sports and hunting and cars and weather and jobs. But we just can't seem to bring it across our lips. The mercies of God that was new that very morning. We must be reminded. God is faithful, and His faithfulness is great. It is established, it is incomparable, it is unfailing, it is infinite, and it is everlasting. Are we praying to see it? Are we praying to God and say, God, help me to see your faithfulness in everything that is around me? And then are we proclaiming it? Are we sitting down with friends and family, co-workers, our children, our spouses, and saying, God is so merciful, and He is so faithful. And now, how is God's faithfulness manifested or shown? These are just some ways. This is not exhaustive by any means. First, His faithfulness is shown or manifested in His plans, His designs. Isaiah 25:1 that we read earlier said, Yahweh, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have accomplished wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. All that God has planned and laid out before the foundations of the world, before all that we know to exist, including time and space, God did so with perfect faithfulness. Perfect trustworthiness. Here's a tough one. His faithfulness is manifested or shown in the affliction of His saints. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. What? In faithfulness, God has afflicted me? Yes. Yes. The Holman Christian Bible reads it like this. I know, Yahweh, that your judgments are just and that you have afflicted me fairly. You have afflicted me fairly. Can you swallow that one? Because that one's a little hard for me to swallow. What God brings into your life, be it affliction or judgment, it is righteous, it is just, and He is faithful in doing so. Scripture also declares that God's faithfulness is manifested in the fulfilling of His promises. 1 Kings 8:20. The Lord has fulfilled what He has promised. I have taken the place of my father David, and I sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. I have built the temple for the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. And Hebrews 10:23, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God is the ultimate promise keeper. Right? We don't have to do pinky promises with God. He is the ultimate promise keeper. This Hebrew passage says, hold on to, cleave to, do not let go of the confession that we have made. The confession that through Christ we are now reconciled to God and we are promised eternity with Him because of the work of Christ and the gift of faith. Hold on to that. Why? Don't waver in that confession. Why? Because the one who promised it, His very nature, is faithfulness. You don't ever have to let go of your confession and say, man, I just don't know if God's truly going to save me when I die. He promised. And He is faithful. And He does what He says. It is His very nature. Next, God's faithfulness is manifested or shown in the keeping of covenants. And this is tied to His promises. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know that Yahweh, your God, is God, the faithful God, who keeps His gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commands. He is a covenant keeper. God's faithfulness is shown in the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to His covenant, to His word, wherein He promised to forgive repentant, believing sinners. And He is just to Himself. He is just to Himself. He is just to His Son, who He not only sent for the service, the life in which He lived, but He also promised the Son that those who would come through Him shall be forgiven on His account. And so He is faithful in the forgiveness of sins. God is faithful, and we are encouraged to depend upon it and trust in His faithfulness. 1 Peter 4:19. So those who suffer according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. And not only should we be trusting in and depending on God's faithfulness, but we should be feeding on it. Listen to verse 3 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. In the Hebrew, that term befriend faithfulness, get this, actually means feed on faithfulness. Feed on faithfulness. Depending on your translation, it may actually have something similar to that. Listen, church, we have a faithful God. When all of us are unfaithful, He remains faithful. He is the great one who is faithful by His nature and can be nothing less. And that is why the psalmist David tells us there to trust Yahweh. Trust Him and obey. Do what is good. Dwell in His land. Dwell in His land, God's land. And when you do so, you will feed on His faithfulness. That's where you'll get your nourishment and your growth, your joy and your peace, by feeding on God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is a part of His essence. It affects everything He says and everything He does. I know that there are many sitting here today who would smile and say hi as though everything is okay. And I know that it's not. I know that there are many here that are suffering. I know that there are heavy hearts here. I know that there are weighted shoulders here. But hear me, church. God is faithful in sustaining us through suffering and through trials. You cannot do it on your own. No matter what your difficulty is right now, no matter how heavy your hearts are right now, you will not get through it without leaning on the faithfulness of God. This is one of those times when we are most tempted to doubt God's faithfulness, when times are hard, when there's a passing of someone that we love, when there's a loss of job or some other financial struggle. We're tempted to doubt God's faithfulness when difficulties and sufferings strike our lives. It often makes no sense to us. No reason for it. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. And we may search our lives, and although we find some sins in which have been previously overlooked, we still not can believe that we deserve what God has allowed us to go through or be entered into. And we begin to think that He has forgotten us, or that maybe He doesn't really care about me. God will not only be faithful in assuring our salvation, providing for our victory, forgiving our sins, sustaining us through suffering, but He will also be faithful in keeping every promise He has ever made. He is faithful. And that is the greatest encouragement that we could possibly have today. The Bible contains thousands of precious promises from God, and at least one of them will have application to whatever it is you're going through. Whether it's financial, terminal illness, the loss of a loved one, family tensions, loss of job, you name it, He has a promise for it. It's in there. We must remember this somehow, some way. Set up things in your life causing you to remember His past faithfulness to you. You all admitted in the beginning that there's been some way in which God has shown His faithfulness to you in the past days, months, or years. Find a way to remember it. Stick up post-it notes. Write it on mirrors. Put them in your cars and drawers and walls, but see them and remember. Do whatever it takes. In 1941, the heads of the presidents that were foundational to our nation's heritage and history were finished being carved out of Mount Rushmore. And it was done so that we would have a memorial to remember where we as a nation had been and had come from, and the men that had paved the way. God had Joshua do the same such thing in Joshua chapter 4. And He has Joshua take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River for a similar purpose. And the Lord wanted future generations to have a memorial to their national history. He wanted them to remember, get this, He wanted them to remember that as He parted the Red Sea to get them out of Egypt, to free them from slavery, God parted the sea to free them, just as He did for all of us, by the way. He also then parted the Jordan to get them into the Promised Land. He paved the way to free them, and He paved the way to get them in. Same for you, same for me. He wanted them to live not only in the present, but He wanted them to have something that they could look upon and remember His faithfulness. And so they built their memorial. God understands our human nature, and God knows that out of sight, out of mind still holds true today. We need physical reminders of spiritual truths. We need to pile up stones. We need to write journals. We need to tell our past stories to help us remember the miracle of God's provisions that neither we nor our children can afford to forget. Cannot. Our children, our friends, our family, they need to hear where God has taken us.
where He's brought us from, the sea in which He parted, and the other sea in which He will part when He takes us into the promised land.
Think about it. How has God shown Himself to be faithful to you and to your family in the past? How can you make sure that you'll remember? With whom can you talk to about it, even today? Set up your Mount Rushmore of remembering. Don't let the truthfulness of God's faithfulness be forgotten and be passed by again. But hear this. Even when we doubt His promises, or we don't feel close to Him, or we choose to sin, His faithfulness still reaches the clouds. And we can be sure that God will do all that He said that He would do, and that all of His promises are backed up by His flawless character. And in those times when you don't feel close to God, remind yourself that His feelings for you, they haven't changed. It's not a matter of how you feel at the moment, but the fact of the rock-solid faithfulness of God.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, now forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I all I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, thousand beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's pray.